Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Isaiah 53:1. Jesus, somebody pray you calm me down, would you? Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our message? The old King James says, who has believed our report? Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Would you look up here for just a second? There's some reason that the prophet connected believing the word of the Lord, believing the message, and the arm of the Lord being revealed. The arm of the Lord. When the Bible speaks of the arm of the Lord, it speaks of his power. That the Lord showed up, and in his right arm there was power. In his arm there is strength. Nothing can stop God. Nations are as a drop in the bucket to God. It'd be all right if you say amen. There are no diseases that can stand in the presence of God. There is no need that God cannot meet. With God, nothing shall be impossible. There's nothing you're facing that God can't take care of. There's no problem in the world that God can't handle. There is nothing that takes God by surprise. If you believe the word of the Lord, who's believed this report, who has believed this message, and included in that idea is, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has seen his power? Listen, I'm not interested in more organization. I lack administrative skills to such a degree that it's hilarious to me how lacking I am. It's amazing how retarded I am when it comes to business and getting the church organized and getting the structure right. It's laughable how little I know about structure and politics. I don't know. But there are some things I do know. And that is when the word of the Lord speaks to me and God comes to me and says to me, you are anointed. You've been chosen. Your church is chosen. The people on this planet are chosen. It sets me free from fear. I think God can find somebody to put the thing together. I think God can lift up somebody to organize and put some structure to the program. I just want to say it out loud today. I'm not suffering with my inadequacies anymore. I'm saying I believe the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord to me is preach Jesus. And so I'm saying if I do that, he's going to find somebody. I can't think of being with anybody better than Nate Saban for music. I can't do music, but I'm going to tell you what God did. He put me with Nate. Right? So that we start singing and my spirit explodes and I realize I'm in the presence of Almighty God. His presence, Pam, his presence pushes away from me all condemnation, all darkness, all fear, any concern I've got. Somehow in the presence of the Lord, when I see his arm revealed, I realize I don't have to worry about the economy. I don't have to worry about who's next president. I don't have to worry about Republicans and Democrats. I don't have to worry about the church. I don't have to worry about denominations. I don't have to try to straighten a thing out. We've got a God who can do all of that, and I have faith. Somebody say, I have faith. I have faith in God. As long as the earth remains. I can't lay hands on you and pray negativity out. But I can give you a word from the Lord that will drive it out. I can't pray for you. Some of you want prayer, and you think, if somebody just prayed for me, I wouldn't think like I think. You have to replace that negative thought with the word of the Lord. You have to believe the Lord. You can't believe in my God, your grandma's God, your mom's God. You got to have God for yourself. And you, am I right or not? You got to be able to wake up in the morning and say, I believe in you. I trust you. It can't be the residue of a Sunday service. You can't keep looking at television to try to get inspiration. You can't keep thinking, well, if the pastor will say it, I'll get it. You need to have a relationship with God for yourself. Now, is that right or not? So I want to focus you today on Jesus. Let's look for just a moment. Mark 11, Mark chapter 11. I wish I had more sense. I pray to God someday I'll get calmed down. Honest to God, because I know that there are great churches and they have wonderful programs and they go exactly an hour and a half and everybody knows exactly what they're going to get. And I think that's marvelous. I just can't do it. I just can't do that. Help me, Jesus, help me. If this whole generation needs that, then do something to me to help me, because I can't calm down, you guys. I can't calm down. When I know there are people in this room that need a touch from God, I want to throw the program out and let Jesus touch people and heal people and fix people and work on your mind and plant seeds. The reason I'm reading the Bible to you today is a result of the first verse that I showed you, seed time and harvest. I believe that if you will hear the word of the Lord, like Isaiah, believe this message, the arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. Listen, God is not short. He's not weak. He's not slack concerning his promise. We just don't believe the word of the Lord. We don't know how to apply the word of the Lord to our lives. We don't know how to believe in the times of trouble. It's like we're like the waves of the sea. We're just tossed around by every situation. But there is a word from the Lord that'll set you on a rock and establish your goings, he said. That you can say, man, I don't know what's going on outside, but I'm in my car right now. The Holy Ghost is in this car. Or I don't know what's going on in other churches, but right now the Spirit of the Lord is alive in our church. Or I don't know what's going on in anybody else's head, but my mind's blowing up with scriptures that prove that God's going to do what he said. You got to have that. You got to have a well that when things happen, you can draw out of that well a word, seed time and harvest. If the enemy says you're not going to have a job, if the enemy's kept you bound by negativity, the reason you can't get a job is not because there aren't jobs. It's because of the way you think about yourself. It's the way you approach the situation. But if you can somehow say, oh God, I'm anointed, I'm chosen by God, I'm a child of God, I believe God, you may walk into that place with your head held high and they say, we want that person right there. And it has nothing to do with your skill. It's because you believe in God and he's changed your attitude and you feel like there's going to be a harvest. I've come for my harvest. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Jesus answered. If Jesus said have faith in God, well, you ought to have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen. Have faith in God. If you say what God said, you will have it. First John, I didn't give this to our people. 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. 14 and 15, if you can get that for me. 1 John chapter 5. 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14. This is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Now, I wrote this myself. You need to, if you're taking notes, you need to write this down. I'm going to tell you something real big right now. This is really big. Ready? This is original. I wrote this down. came up with this. Put my name by it. Ready? Confidence is as important as ability. You can go to school and you can learn, you can practice, and you can have abilities, you can have gifts, but if you don't have any confidence and you don't do what you know you can do, confidence is as important as ability. A part of my job as your pastor is to peel away confusion about your gifts. A moment ago, I talked about administration, talked about structure. Look up here at me, and I stand before you today in great need of help. I need help. But what I do see God has blessed me with, and the gifts that I do know God has endowed me with, I need not only the ability, but I have to have confidence. Confidence. It's the difference between hitting the ball and striking out. It's the difference between pulling it off or hesitating. It's called confidence. It's called boldness. Several months ago, God spoke to me and said, be bold. Me, be bold. If you say it, say it. If you believe it, believe it. This is the confidence. Say confidence. Say, I have. I have confidence in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked for. Confidence. I believe God. Have faith in God. David, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you'd like to turn there quickly, 2 Samuel chapter 23, 1 through 5, David left us a legacy. He left a legacy of faith. He said, look at 2 Samuel 23. These are the last words of David, the oracle, the son of David, the son of Jesse. The oracle of the man exalted by the Most High, a man anointed by the God of Jacob. Somebody say anointed. He said, I'm anointed. You need to say out loud, I am chosen. I'm chosen. Anointing means chosen. Jesus was the chosen one. He was the Christ. Christ, Christo, anointed. Jesus was anointed. Everybody say anointed. He said, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the Lord has anointed me. And he said, I'm going to preach to the poor. I'm going to set people free. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to heal blind eyes. I'm anointed. I've been chosen to do this. Listen to me. You need confidence to say, Jesus said, say to the mountain. You need to say to your past, I'm finished with you. The past is past. I don't believe what they said about me. I believe the report of the Lord. I believe what God said about me. I believe that I've been chosen by God. I believe that all these things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I don't believe God abandoned me when bad times came. I know what it means to go through a storm, but I know who the storm maker is. And when Noah came out of the ark, God said, I'm going to tell you, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, it's going to remain. He put his bow in the cloud and he said, you see that rainbow? That's my covenant with you. I will never let the world be destroyed again by water. If you're in a storm today and it's raining, hang in there, baby. It's not going to destroy you. He said, I put a rainbow in the clouds to show you the storm is over. And can I tell you, listen to me, Grace Place. The rainbow showed up over this church. I don't know if you care about that, but it's good to know. I have confidence in God. Ooh. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Would you read that verse aloud and would you make it personal? Would you read that in the first person? Say it. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Can I tell you that religion coupled with Your enemy, the devil, has tried to steal that confidence from you by exaggerating your failure and downgrading the blood of Jesus. You need to say, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. It wasn't you talking anyhow. We didn't want to give you credit anyhow, and you don't want to give somebody credit. It was the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord can speak through you in your lowest moment, in your darkest hour. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm in trouble, when I'm confused, and suddenly the word of the Lord comes out of my mouth, I know that ain't me. That's not my righteousness talking. That's not my brilliant mind. That's the word of the Lord coming out of me. Hear what I'm telling you now. And religion and the enemy has tried to shut your mouth. But Jesus said, when you say to that mountain, say it. Have the confidence to say it. When you've been in trouble, when you have failed, listen to me. I was cleaning fish, which is a messy, stinky, bloody job, because I catch a bunch and I make a mess when I clean them. The phone rang, and I couldn't pick the phone up because my hands were full of blood and fish guts and scales. Okay? I grabbed a towel and answered the phone. I've been fishing. I couldn't be any happier. I couldn't have been any more carnal. I was as carnal and as fleshly and as happy as I could be. I could already taste those fish. The phone rang, and the lady on the phone is crying. She's weeping. She said, my husband just had a heart attack. Oh, my God, would you pray? And for a split second, I recognized my physical condition. None of you have ever been prayed for by anybody that smelled any worse. And I started to pray with my phone in a towel, and she began to praise the Lord in this moment, and God saved that man's life. Bob, stand up, Bob. This is Bob Yenock. Stand up, Diane. This is Bob and Diane. This is Terry's sister and her brother-in-law, Bob, who was in the hospital at Christmas time and died three times, died. And in the middle of all that madness, one time we prayed for him and took off, Terry and Diane, we're going to go back to their mother's house to rest. And before we could get home, they called us before we could get home and said, get back. And Diane stayed with Bob. It was Terry and I. Turn around and come back. He died. We rushed back to the hospital. I got to look at everybody. We'll look you all in the eye. Look at me. Look at me. Sometimes when you pray, it is out of desperation and not faith. Sometimes when you pray, you may have very little hope, but you're saying, I'm going to say this out loud right now. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God, save his life, God, raise him up. You know what they call him at the Pittsburgh Heart Institute, one of the greatest hospitals in the nation? You know what they call him? The Miracle Man. He's the Energizer Bunny. He just won't die. He just won't die. And here we are visiting. We're shouting and crying. We cry about all the time. What about this? We'll tell a story and talk about the kids. And Bob waking up, pulling the tubes out, saying, where's my wife? That's right. Is that right? I just want to tell you today that I'm serving a real God, a living God, a healing God, a God that will heal you right now while you're sitting here. And it's bigger to me that he heals your mind than he heals your body. If he could just get through our heads and get our heads straightened, what a miracle it would be if he could set you free until you said, I believe him. I believe him. I'm anointed. I've been chosen by God. Say, I'm anointed. Say it out loud. I'm anointed. I've been chosen by God. I have no clue what you're going to face next week, but I'm going to tell you this. If that confidence is in your spirit, Melvin, if you can say it, it'll break whatever brokenness. It'll tear down all the walls that have messed you up, all the stuff that we are hung up in our heads, if we can say the word of the Lord and not believe what somebody else told us. I'm anointed. He anointed me. He chose me. His word, his spirit is in me. Then he said, the God of Israel spoke, the rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he's like the light of the morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. God has spoken through me, and God has talked to me. Say, God has talked to me. Say, God has talked to me. God spoke to me. God talked to me. His word has come out of my mouth. I'm the vessel. He's the oil. We are the water pots filled with water that he changes the water to wine. Pete, when he came to this wedding, when he showed up at this party, you were a clay vessel and you were used for cleansing, washing people's hands, washing people's feet. The pots were specifically there for a purpose. But when Jesus showed up at the party, he changes the purpose of the pots. You have a different purpose now. You're not old wash water. You're containing a miracle. Right now, he's working on you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The conversion is not to a different church. It's not to a different denomination, because they're all alike. They're all full of crap. Would you rather I use a different word? They have all got so many men's ideas, they're all crippled. They're all programmed. But God came to change the purpose of the pot. Just don't forget who you are. You're blessed. You're just blessed to have him say over you, pour some water in there. Because when he's done with you, you are going to house a miracle. You are chosen by God. And he transforms you from what you were. You say, I don't look any different. How many of you would like to join with me between now and Thanksgiving and you're going to lose 10 pounds? Bob, very good. I got four people. There's about 150 of you that need to make a covenant with me today. I said, I'd like to raise it up this morning, just say this, put out a challenge. I've been thinking about this for days. I know this isn't a very anointed moment. How many of you would like to lose 10 pounds between now and Thanksgiving? On the Sunday of Thanksgiving, I'll come back. Take a picture of this, please. We need this pan the crowd. Seven people, eight, come on. 10 pounds, come on. I saw your hand, Joe, I love that. All right, you can work hard. But the truth of the matter is, the Sunday of Thanksgiving, you'll recognize me. I'm still me. They're not gonna put Elvis nose on me. Right? I'm not going to end up... Michael Jackson, no, stop it. You stop it. But when Jesus comes, he changes who you are. His word will convince you, I've been chosen for this job. I know I sat here by the door, and I know they washed their hands and washed their feet from the water from my pot. I know that that's the traditional purpose. I know that that's what people say you're supposed to be. But when Jesus comes, he changes the purpose of the pots. Because he puts his word in you, and suddenly out of you comes something that you didn't come up with. It's not your idea. Bob, I'm looking back at Bob Erickson. Bob Erickson has told me several times on the job that he will be looking at an issue, something, an answer needs to come, somebody needs to fix something, and he said to me, God will speak to him and show him an answer. Now, Bob, is that right? You've actually felt like the Spirit of the Lord revealed a thought to you. And you mean about mechanical things? Yes. Yes. Real decisions? Yes. He'll talk to you. You need to say that. David said, God spoke to me. Did he not? Everybody say, God spoke to me. Say, God speaks to me. I'm trying to replace the thoughts that you have. You're not worthy. He never talks to me. He always talks to somebody else. I'm trying to change that in you today. So out of your mouth, you're saying, mountain, get into the sea. Go to the sea. Get out of my head. Get out of my face. Get these impossibilities, this exclusion that I have felt, this humility, this false humility that has overwhelmed my life until I don't do anything great. Get out of my head. Mountain, get out. Word of the Lord has come to me. I'm chosen. I'm anointed. God has anointed me. I'll try to finish. So David said, these are the issues of my ministry and my life. And I would like you to see 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. Navi Kingston Lloyd is going to be dedicated in a moment, but I'd like to dedicate that baby on this day when we are saying we confess with our mouths that God has chosen us, so that that little boy faces life without the fears from the previous generations. That's what I'd like. I'd like him to be anointed by God. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people. You are royalty. Your daddy owns the joint. You can come and go as you please. You have the combination to the office. You have the key to the car. Your name is on the checkbook. You are royalty. The crown jewels belong to you. There's no reason to steal. If some of you got loose in Queen Elizabeth's closet, there's no telling what you'd take. But the truth is, they're yours already. You're royalty. Do you hear me? You don't have to steal anything. It's yours. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You're a people, and you belong to God. Would you look up here just a moment? Does that in any way affect your fear of being excluded someday? That somehow the enemy can get you so tricked up, so screwed up, so messed up, so much a failure that you're not going to be included? Does that little portion of verse help you at all when it says you belong to God? I just want to know, do you believe that? I believe that. The enemy's tried to tell me that when I fail, I don't belong to God anymore, I belong to the devil. That I'm a child of the devil. I've acted like a child of the devil. Haven't you? But I belong to God. Would you get your preaching finger out and would you say, I belong to God? There, you might have to do that in the dark of your bed when the enemy comes and attacks your mind. You may have to do that in your car. You may have to do that at your work, wherever you're stationed, whatever you're doing. You may have to do that in the middle of the day tomorrow. It may get on you. The Holy Ghost may come on you tomorrow because the Spirit of the Lord's in you. God spoke to you. You may have to say out loud, I belong to God. I belong to God. I belong to God. Cancer, I belong to God. Heart disease, I belong to God. Pittsburgh Heart Hospital, I belong to God. I don't belong to you. I don't belong to that prophecy. I don't belong to what that doctor said. What that one doctor, you guys called him what? The bad guy? Terry named a doctor that every time he came in, he had a bad report. We pray, feel God. Bob would be raised from the dead. And we had a doctor, and Terry said, that's the Grim Reaper. She called him the Grim Reaper. Every time he'd come in the room, things aren't going well. Well, you and I want to take a picture of Bob today shouting and praising God in the front row of this church and send it to the Grim Reaper and say, how's that, pal? How you feel about that? Am I right, Bob? Here's why. The words in my mouth. I'm chosen by God. I'm a royal priesthood. I belong to God. You come, somebody's got to say, stand up. Maybe I'll quit if you'll stand. Somebody say, I belong to God. Slap somebody a high five and say, you belong to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. It says so that you can declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness. Somebody say, I am out of darkness. I'm out of darkness. I'm out of darkness. I'm not living in darkness. I don't live under the power of darkness. I'm not addicted. I'm not ashamed. I was in darkness, but I'm not in darkness. He brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. You were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You are the people of God. You are the people of God. You are carrying the word of the Lord. You are carrying the Spirit. You are carrying life and hope and light. You are the people of God. Once you were not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Did I hear that, Pam? Did I hear that? Did I hear that? You have received mercy. That just moved a whole mountain for me. Mercy.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.